Well, today, once again, we're continuing our series titled, What is Foursquare, right? Our sign outside says that we're Dallas Foursquare Church. And so what does that even mean, right? What does it mean to be Foursquare? What does it mean to be a part of the denomination that is known as the International Church of the Foursquare Gospel? That's what this series is all about. It's meant to share who we are and really what we believe as a church. And as I've mentioned each week, we do not believe that Foursquare is better than any other of the Christian denominations that are out there. There's over 100 and, I forget, they said it on one of the podcasts I listened to. I'm not going to say it because I'll totally mess. There are a lot of denominations out there, okay? But we don't claim to be better than any of them. Foursquare actually prides itself on being interdenominational, which means we want to come alongside other denominations and churches to see the Great Commission accomplished in and through our world. Now, with that said, like any denomination, we do have certain doctrines and distinctives that make us who we are. And that is what we've been talking about in this series over the last several weeks. And if you've missed any part of this series so far, I would encourage you to go to watch them or listen to them online, especially if you call Dallas Foursquare Church your home, because I believe it's important for all of us to know what we believe as a church and how can we live that out in our lives. And so I encourage you to go and check it out. And the biggest aspect of what we believe as a Foursquare church is the four squares that give us our name. And so when you walk into this church, when you walk up the stairs to come into the sanctuary, on that wall out there, you see four squares with our denominational scripture. And those four squares represent what we believe to be the fourfold gospel of Jesus Christ. And this comes from a prophecy found in the book of Ezekiel that references the fourfold gospel of Jesus. And so those four squares represent our belief that Jesus Christ is our Savior. Jesus Christ is our baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is our healer. And Jesus Christ is our soon and coming King. That's what the four squares represent. And we kicked off this series 4 weeks ago by taking a look at all four of these things, kind of a quick overview of each of these four characteristics, distinctives of who we are. But I mentioned then that we were going to dive a little deeper into some of them. And last week, the last 3 weeks, we did an extremely deep dive into the second aspect that we see up there, and the fact that Jesus Christ is our baptizer of the Holy Spirit. And we dove into that. And again, if you missed any of those messages, I would encourage you to go and check them out, because the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a huge part of who we are as a Foursquare church. But today, we're going to look at another aspect that is huge, which is the fact that Jesus Christ is our healer. Jesus Christ is our healer. Now, this is something that I came to believe at a very young age, as I saw firsthand God do amazing healings and miracles in people that were important in my life. But I didn't realize how big healing was in Foursquare until I began the process of becoming a Foursquare pastor 22 years ago. Yeah, 2001, 2023. Yeah, somewhere around there. 22 years ago. Part of the process for me to get my pastor's license was actually reading a few books on the history of Foursquare and writing papers on them. And as I read and studied the history of the Foursquare Church, I realized that it had a heart and passion from the beginning to see people healed. I read stories that when the hospitals in Los Angeles were full, that's where the first church was, down in Los Angeles, at Angeles Temple, they would start taking people in the ambulances to Angeles Temple, which was an amazing thing because these people would, or these ambulances would roll in full of sick and injured people, and they would actually drive out empty because the people had been healed there at the Four Square Church in Los Angeles. Can you imagine how amazing that must have been to see numbers and numbers of people miraculously healed? The healing power of Jesus is an amazing thing. And I imagine we would all love to see that kind of healing power in our own lives. But why is it that sometimes we see healing take place and sometimes we don't see healing take place? Why is it that sometimes our prayers are answered and other times our prayers aren't answered? Some of the questions that I'm asked a lot as a pastor, there's probably two that I'm asked more than any other question when it comes to this idea of healing. And that's these two questions. Number one, how come people don't always get healed when we pray for them? And number two, if God doesn't heal someone when we pray, is it because I don't have enough faith? I'm guessing that many of us have these same types of questions. And though I may not be able to answer these questions fully this morning, I think there are some important things that we can learn from Jesus when it comes to this topic of healing. We believe that Jesus Christ is our healer. And so who better to look at when it comes to healing? And so if you're familiar at all with Jesus' ministry, you know that healing was a big part of what he did here on this earth. If you read through the Gospels, through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll see time and time again where Jesus was healing people, and sometimes entire communities. And so this morning, I want to take a look at some of the healings that we saw Jesus do and see if we can't learn something from Jesus and these amazing miracles. And so I want to start with a very quick miracle that's found in Matthew 14:14, which it simply says this. In Matthew 14:14, it says, "When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick." Now, this is just one little scripture in the midst of two completely different occurrences. And if we blink, as if we're reading through this and we blink through Mark 14, we're going to miss what's happening. We're going to miss something about healing. And so let me give you kind of some context of what's happening here in verse 14. In the verses prior to verse 14, Jesus finds out that his cousin, John the Baptist, has just been beheaded by King Herod. And so Jesus gets into a boat with his disciples. And in verse 13, it says he goes off basically to have some quiet time, to grieve this pain and this hurt that he's just experienced of the loss of his cousin who he loved. And so then in verse 14, all of a sudden he lands on the shore and sees this large crowd, and it says he has compassion on them and he heals their sick. But then the very next verse, in verse 15, it's suddenly evening, and it's about to head into that section of scripture where Jesus feeds the 5,000. In this verse, it's the disciples are like, "It's getting late. What are we going to do? We need to send these people away." And Jesus begins to go, "Why don't you feed them?" Right? And we get into that miracle. And so, like I said, here is this little verse that's sandwiched between two huge events, right? The beheading of John the Baptist and the feeding of the 5,000. And if you blink, you're going to miss an important aspect of healing that we see in this moment with Jesus. And so it tells us here that Jesus healed their sick. It doesn't say Jesus healed some of their sick, a few of their sick. It implies that he healed everybody that was sick. Everybody that was there in that moment that was sick experience healing from Jesus. And the big question is why? Why did these people get healed? And this short verse tells us an amazing truth about Jesus Christ, our healer, which is this. Sometimes Jesus heals simply out of compassion. Sometimes Jesus heals just because he has compassion for us. Something stirs in his heart for us. It's not because of our faith. It's not because we did anything to deserve it. But simply out of his love and compassion for us, for people. I think sometimes we think that we have to do something special or we have to do the right thing in order to experience healing. But the reality is sometimes the Lord just looks down upon us and he has compassion upon us. And out of that compassion, he chooses to heal us in that moment and in that time. It has nothing to do with who we are. Has nothing to do with what we've done or even whether or not we believe in him. Jesus heals people that don't even believe in him. It's simply the compassion of a loving Savior who has the power to choose who he's going to heal and who he isn't going to heal. He's God. It's up to him. His ways are not our ways, right? So sometimes Jesus heals simply out of compassion. But let's look at another scripture that reveals something to us about Jesus Christ, our healer. Our next story of healing is found in Mark 5, verses 25 through 34. And it's a story that I'm guessing most of us are familiar with. I used it recently. I was trying to even remember the context. Like I said, I can't remember things a lot. I know I shared on this scripture recently. It's the healing of the woman who touches Jesus' cloak, right? And so let's read Mark 5, verses 25 through 34. It says, "And a woman who was there, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, 'Who touched my clothes?' You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Right there at the end, in verse 34, Jesus says, "Your faith has healed you." And this scripture reveals another amazing truth about Jesus Christ, our healer, which is this. Sometimes Jesus heals because of our faith. Because we have faith to believe that if we just touch him, if we just pray, if we just seek him, that he'll be faithful to heal. What an amazing faith this woman must have had. Because her disease would have made her unclean. Which means that she wasn't supposed to be out in public. She wasn't supposed to be around people. But she stepped out in faith. She believed, and so she acted upon this belief. I believe if I can just get to him, if I can just get to Jesus, if I can just touch him, he'll heal me. And her faith healed her. Faith is an amazing thing, and the truth is sometimes God does heal us because of our faith. Years ago, in the late 90s, there was a well-known revival that took place down in Brownsville, Florida, where all sorts of miracles and healings were taking place. People were coming from all over the world to that church there in Brownsville to see what was going on. And it's been reported that over 4 million people visited that church in the midst of this revival that was happening in the late 90s. My father-in-law was one of those people that went and visited this church. And I remember when he got back, he was excited and he was sharing some amazing stories. And one of the stories he shared with me was a story that the children's pastor there at that church shared about this amazing miracle that had taken place because of the faith of a little girl. And so during this time when the revival was happening, they were having these evening services all throughout the week. And so they were encouraging people there in the church to invite their friends, invite their neighbors to come to the service. And so this one couple decided to invite their neighbors, which consisted of a family of a mother, a father, and a little girl, a little 5 or 6 year old girl. And so when that couple, when that family came, they went, the couple went into the main service where all the adults were. And their daughter went into children's church, which was a big, giant kids' church for kindergarten through fifth grade. And at the end of the service for the children, the children's pastor gave an invitation to any of those kids that wanted to give their life to Jesus. And he invited them to come forward to be prayed with. If they wanted to give their life to Jesus, he said, come forward and we will pray with you. And so this little 5, 6 year old girl came forward. And the crazy thing is they didn't come forward and pray with adults. The older kids in the class, 4th and 5th grade kids, were the ones that were praying with these kids that came forward. And so this little girl comes forward and this 5th grader is there and asks, do you want to receive Jesus? And so he began to pray with her to receive Jesus. And after praying with her to receive Jesus, he asked her, is there anything else that we can be praying for you about? Is there any other prayer requests that you might have? And so this little girl begins to share this story of what was going on in her family. And she shared that her dad has had back problems and that he's a pilot. And when he flies long distances. And because of this horrible back pain, he's been unable to work and he's on the verge of losing his job because he can't work. And so she asked this boy if he would pray for her father. And so this little 5th grader told her, he said, yes, I'm going to pray for your daddy, but I want you to do something for me. When our service is done and your parents show up to get you, I want you to take this oil. And he gave her a little vial of oil. He said, I want you to take this oil. I want you to put it on your hand and I want you to put your hand on your daddy's back. And I want you to pray that your daddy gets healed, that Jesus would heal your daddy's back. And you need to believe that God can heal him. And so this 5th grade boy, he prayed with her, he prayed over his dad, and then when the service was over, her mom showed up and she saw her mom and was like, where's daddy? Where's daddy? Where's daddy? She was all excited and so the mom said, well, he's out in the courtyard talking to, you know, their friends that had invited them. And so this little girl runs out into the courtyard and she sees daddy. She's like, daddy, daddy, daddy. I got to do something. And so she puts a little oil on her hand and she lays her hand on his back and she begins to pray that Jesus would heal her daddy. And the Spirit of God came upon her daddy. He actually fell to the ground. And you would think that this wouldn't be good for a bad back, right? Falling to the ground. But the dad pops up and he starts moving around and he's just like, I've got no pain. My back is healed. And the faith of this little girl praying for her daddy does this amazing healing. But the amazing thing is, the story doesn't stop there. This little girl had a grandpa that was dying of liver cancer. He had drank most of his life. He didn't know Jesus. And he literally was just waiting to die. But now this little girl knows the power of Jesus, the healing power of Jesus. And so she tells her mom and dad that she needs to lay hands on grandpa and pray for him so that he can be healed. The problem is grandpa lives 8 or 9 hours away. And so she calls him. She tells him the story about her dad and how her dad was healed and says, "You need to come, grandpa, so I can lay hands on you so Jesus can heal you too." And grandpa's like, "Yeah, that's nice, sweetie, but I can't come 8, 9 hours away. You just pray for me there." And so this little girl was bummed. She knew she wanted to pray. She wanted to lay hands on her grandpa. And suddenly she came up with this idea. She ran to her room and she got some paper and some markers. And she put her hand down on that paper. And she began to trace out her hand on the paper. And then she runs to her mom and asks her mom, do we have any oil? Mom, do you have any oil? And so her mom gives her oil. And so she puts oil all over this little handprint. And then she folds it up, puts it in an envelope, and says, "Mom, can you write a letter to Grandpa? Tell him to put this on his liver and pray for Jesus to heal him." And so they send it off in the mail and are just waiting, hoping to hear from Grandpa, hoping they'll get a call here soon. And about 4 or 5 days later, they don't get a call. They get a knock on the door. It's her grandpa. When he put this paper with a hand over his liver and prayed, he was miraculously healed. So he hopped in the car and drove immediately up there to tell his little granddaughter that her faith had healed him. This is an amazing story of true childlike faith. And the question is, do we have this kind of faith? Because I believe sometimes Jesus heals out of compassion, but sometimes he heals because of our faith. I don't know about you, but I want to have that kind of faith. I want to have the kind of faith that moves Jesus to heal. Amen? And I want to look at one more section of Scripture that we see Jesus heal. It's found in Luke 17, verses 12 through 14. Let me read it to you. It says this: "As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When he saw them, he said, 'Go, show yourself to the priest.' And as they went, they were cleansed," or healed. As they went, they were healed. Jesus said, "Go." They went, and they got healed. And I think this scripture shows us one more truth about Jesus Christ, our healer, which is this: sometimes Jesus heals because of our obedience. When I think about what happened in this scripture and how this healing actually took place, I can't help but wonder, would I have responded in the same way? Would I have taken off right away and headed towards the priests? Because it says they weren't healed until they were on their way. And I wonder, would I have been that person that looked first? Instead of just running in obedience, instead of just taking off, what I've been like, "I still have leprosy. Why would I go? Why would I leave? Why would I head to the priest? I thought you were going to heal me, Jesus." Would I have looked first, or would I have responded immediately to what Jesus told me to do? You see, in the scripture, they didn't hesitate. They didn't stop and look to make sure they were actually healed. They just obeyed. They just took off and did what Jesus told them to do. And it was because of their obedience, I believe, that they were healed. There's actually another story in the Bible that demonstrates the healing power of obedience. It's found in the Old Testament. Some of you may be familiar with this story in 2 Kings 5. It's the story of Naaman. He had leprosy, and he was sent to the prophet Elisha to receive healing. But when he got there, Elisha didn't come out. Elisha just sent out his servant. And when the servant told him to do something that he thought was crazy, he almost didn't do it. And so I want to take a look at this section of scripture in 2 Kings. It's verses 5, or chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. I want to read it to you this morning. It says this: "But Naaman went away angry and said, 'I thought that he would surely come out to me.'" He's talking about Elisha here, right? "I thought he would come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?' So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?' So he went down, dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy." Sometimes God calls us to obedience, to do things maybe different than how we thought we should have done it or how we want to do it. And as we learn to walk out that obedience, as crazy as it may sound, or as simple as it may sound, because that's the problem a lot of times, it seems too simple. We want the wave of the arm and the magic, poof, right? That's what we want sometimes. Maybe it just seems too simple. But when we are obedient and do whatever God has asked us to do, whatever that looks like, that's when healing takes place, and often from the inside out. That's the obedience part. When we walk in obedience, oftentimes the healing begins from the inside out. Jesus Christ is our healer. Sometimes he heals simply out of compassion. Sometimes he heals because of our faith and trust in him. Sometimes he heals because of our obedience, because we did what he told us to do. At the beginning of this message, I talked about a paper I had to write when I was getting my pastor's license. And I want to just take a moment this morning to share with you just a little section of that paper I wrote in regards to divine healing. And I wrote this paper in 2001. And so this is 2001, Darren, writing here. This is what it says. "Being raised in a Christian home with a Pentecostal background, I found myself at a young age believing in God's miraculous healing power. As a little boy, I believed that God could do or heal anything. At age 6, I remember my dad breaking his leg in a church basketball game. That night, he sat on the couch with his leg in a cast. I went up to him and told him that he didn't need the cast because God could heal him. I can't remember if we prayed or not, but after unsuccessfully trying to cut the cast off himself, my dad went to the doctor and asked to have the cast removed. The doctor must have thought he was crazy, but my dad came home with no cast and his leg was healed. At that point, I knew God could do anything. My parents attended several revivals and conferences when I was growing up, and I saw people healed time and time again. I saw people stand up out of wheelchairs, blind people receive sight, deaf people have their hearing restored, and more. As I saw these things, I would sit and marvel at God's miraculous power. How could I not believe when miracles happened before my very eyes? That childlike faith had grown for a time, but then somewhere through the years, it slowly faded. Not that I didn't believe God could still do these things, but would he? As I read about those early revival meetings at Angelus Temple, I wonder how amazing it must have been to see ambulances roll in with sick people and leave empty, to see the miraculous move of the Spirit in their lives, in the lives of so many people. This did not just happen occasionally, but on a regular basis. It was obvious the early Foursquare Church had a strong emphasis on divine healing. I would imagine that those involved seeing these mighty works couldn't help but have that unshakable childlike faith. Why don't we still see this kind of outpouring today? I know we still see God's divine healing taking place in people's lives, but it doesn't seem that there is the same movement that we saw in the early years at Angelus Temple. Is it the day and age we live in, with a watered-down society that is lacking faith? What is it that's different? Our own Foursquare scripture says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But why do things seem different? It was about 2 months ago that I stood in our church prayer meeting laying hands on a lady from our congregation who was suffering from a disease called sarcoidosis. As some of our prayer warriors were praying out for God's divine healing, the Lord said to me, "Darren, I want you to pray for her." My initial reaction was fear. I began to worry, what if she isn't healed? How will I look? The Lord then reminded me of my dad's broken leg and asked me, "What happened to that childlike faith?" At that moment, a boldness welled up inside of me. I began to remember the many miracles I had seen the Lord work in people. It isn't my job to worry whether or not God will heal the people I pray for. It's my job to be obedient to the Lord and pray and contend for the miracle. Pastor Amy Simple McPherson was obedient and prayed and continued to pray, and the results were miraculous. I doubt that she worried what people thought. I believe that sometimes in the culture which we live today, we hinder the move of the Spirit because we are afraid of offending people or what they might think or say. That afternoon in the prayer room, I shared with that woman what the Lord told me to do, and I prayed for her. About a month later, she was completely healed of her disease. I believe Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe Jesus wants more than anything to see his divine healing power poured out like never before. That's why it's time to be obedient and pray with a childlike faith. Again, I wrote that paper 22 years ago, and I'm continually challenged to be someone who prays with a childlike faith. And I have to keep praying because I know Jesus Christ is our healer. I've seen it. I've experienced it. So why is it that God heals one person here and then not the other person over there? I wish I had an answer. I don't have an answer to that. And that's because, like he tells us in Isaiah 55, his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. It tells us there that the heavens are higher than the earth. His ways are higher than ours. That's what the Lord declares. And like I wrote in my paper 22 years ago, it's not my job to heal people. It's my job to be obedient and to pray. To continue to pray, to contend for the miracle. It's my job to trust in the sovereignty of our God. To trust that He sees things in ways that I will never understand. None of us will understand this side of heaven. To trust, to fully trust that He knows best. Not just for us, but for everyone around us, for the whole world, for all people. Do we trust in God's will and way for our lives? Do we trust when the outcome isn't what we wanted it to be? In the summer of 2008, I received a phone call that one of my youth that had been a big part of our youth group was in a tragic accident. He was camping with his family up near Seattle, and him and his siblings were digging caves in a little sand dune area. And his body was halfway in one of these caves when it collapsed on him. He was stuck in it for over 40 minutes. They couldn't get him free. He was without air a good portion of that time. And they life-flighted him to a hospital in Seattle where he was put on a ventilator and most likely brain dead. When I heard the news, I immediately asked my pastor, it was a Sunday, I said, can I miss church this morning? I need to get up to Seattle. And I took off up to Seattle to be with him and with his family. And for the next 3 days, we were all praying for a miracle. We were believing that Zach was going to open his eyes and come back home with his family. And I remember sitting there in the hospital room, holding his hand, praying with him. And I remember when people left and it was just me, I literally like got up on my feet and was like, in the name of Jesus, Zach, get up right now, get up. And I was believing that God was going to do the miraculous, that he was going to sit up right there in his bed and be perfectly well and healed. And as we were all praying over those 3 days, we actually had received at three different times three encouraging words from three different people that didn't even know each other. And these three words lined up. One shared about a dream they had. One shared a scripture that God had given to them. One shared a word that they felt that the Lord had spoke through them. And every single one of those words had a common word. And the word in each of those, there was this word, restore. And so we clung to those words. And we believed that God was saying he was going to restore Zach. And his whole family and I prayed harder than we had ever prayed in our life. And I truly believed that he was going to be healed, that he was going to sit up in that hospital bed. And we came to that point where the hospital said there's nothing more that we can do. And so we chose to unplug the ventilator and put it in God's hands. And I believed with all my heart that when they unplugged that, he was going to start to breathe on his own, that he was going to get up and that he was going to be healed. And he unplugged the machine, and shortly after that, he went to be with Jesus. I struggled. I struggled through this. I loved Zach. He was one of those kids that, man, when he was there first time as a sixth grader, man, he was one of those that just was full of energy, just made you go crazy. But at this point, he had just finished his freshman year, was about to be a sophomore. I had just asked him to join the leadership team. I love this kid. And I struggled and I was asking God, why? Did I not have enough faith? I believed that he was going to get up. There was nothing in me that said anything different. I had the kind of faith that I believe moves mountains. Your scripture says that. Why? Why wasn't he healed? And then I asked God, why would you give us this word, restore, if you weren't going to restore him? And this is what Jesus spoke to me with that still small voice. He said, I did exactly what I said I was going to do. I restored him to who I created him to be, and now he is with me forever in eternity, completely restored. The crazy thing is, one of the last conversations I had with Zach was at the end of camp that year. We went to camp and then they took off on this vacation. And it was after our final chapel service there at camp, he had come up to me and asked for prayer. Because he said, every year I go to camp, every year I get excited and on fire for Jesus, but then I go back. I go back to school, and halfway through the school year, I begin to fall. I begin to lose my faith. I begin to make stupid decisions. And I don't want that to happen again. Will you pray that from this day forward, I will live my life for Jesus? And as I was struggling with his death, it dawned on me that God answered my prayer. That's not the prayer I wanted you to answer, Lord. I mean, I did, but not in this way. He answered my prayer. From that day forward, he lived his life for the Lord. And then he went to be with him. Didn't happen the way I wanted it to. It wasn't what his family wanted for him at that time in his life. None of us want to experience this kind of loss. But there's that point in our life where we pray and we believe with all our heart, but then we have to trust in God. We have to trust in his will and his way for our life. Because the truth is, sometimes what we're praying for is what we want. But it's not necessarily what God wants. It's not necessarily his will. Not that he wouldn't want us to see someone healed, but it's not necessarily his will. And so as we think of this idea of Jesus Christ, our healer, man, let's seek his compassion, right? We want him to look on us with compassion and bring healing. Let's pray with faith. Let's believe. We know he is a God that can heal. Let's pray with faith. And when he tells us to do things, let's walk in obedience. But bottom line, let's trust that Jesus Christ is our healer, whether we experience it here on this earth or in eternity with him. Amen. Will you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the fact that you are our healer, that you are a God that can do the miraculous in and through our lives, and you continue to do it in ways that sometimes we don't even realize or understand. But Lord, we want to be people who trust in you, who have faith, Lord, to believe that you can do miraculous things, that you can heal people that are sick, that you can heal people that are struggling, whether physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. Lord, you are a God that heals, and we seek you to be our healer. But as we believe, as we trust in you, Lord, it means that we have to trust that your ways are better than our ways. That things that we don't understand, you have a plan and a purpose. And so we always contend for the miracle. We always believe in the miraculous. But when it all, what it all comes down to is trusting that you are Lord. Trusting in your hand upon our life, regardless of whether prayers are answered the way we want them to be answered or not. And so, Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that you are our healer. And we seek your healing in our lives. Especially, Lord, in those ways where maybe things didn't go our way. We pray that you would touch us and heal us to know and believe that your will is always right. We thank you for these things. We praise you for who you are, Lord. Help us to keep seeking you, to learn how to trust in you and your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.